5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all, and Happy New Year. It is, I think it's still 2018 now. Jeez. Yes, it is Thursday night, 9:30 on 2008. Do you know, I didn't think I'd live this long, to be quite honest with you. I remember being in elementary school and calculating how old I was going to be in the year 2000. And I got that old, seriously. And now, that was when I was a young man, I was a youngster. So I'm just great. It's great to be alive, to be honest, grateful. Every day's a bonus when you get to my age, which is fantastic. It is, the new Panic Room, episode 75, and it is a brand new year. And hopefully our listener out there, hope you had a great Christmas and New Year all flew by in a sort of alcohol-fueled fueled haze, which is fun. And speaking of which,
I knew you were going to do that. Yeah, I knew you were going
what
to.
What a great segue.
What a great segue that was, wasn't it?
See what I was building up to that really well, wasn't it?
You were. It was
so
great.
How are you? How is your Christmas and whatnot?
Didn't we? We already. No, my Christmas was great. I had a wonderful Christmas and I had a wonderful New Year's. And yeah, everything is wonderful. I'm so scatterbrained right now. I was chatting with you.
What do you mean right now?
Shut up.
Any other time.
But I was looking for something and I couldn't find it, and I was totally scattered. But I found it now. I just need to calm myself and focus because my mind is
It's well, weird. It puts you one up on you too, doesn't it? Because they still haven't found what they're looking for. So you know, Bono, give Bono a call and say, look, this is what I always find is, you know, your people say,
oh my,
you know,
God.
It'll be in the last place you look. Yeah, well, yeah. Although what I do, if I find something, I keep looking for a little bit just to fuck the system. It was in the penultimate place that I looked, because I then went, I found it and then I went and looked somewhere else. I looked behind the sofa just in case. So there you go, because I just don't care.
I have to say this, and it's going to make me sound even more airheaded than I'm sure our listener already believes me to be. But, okay, so I was looking for the thing I was looking for, and it was driving me insane. And you asked me, you know, what you're going to say. I'm like, I don't know, but I found what I was looking for. And then you said, unlike, you know, Bona or whatever on The Boys, I had no idea what you were talking about. I just looked at that, and I was like, okay, whatever. I had no clue.
You know,
I just got it. So
it's pearls before swine with you, isn't it? It really is. Why do I bother? You know, I try to add a little bit of intelligent humor, and it goes straight over your head. Bless you.
It did.
Bless you.
I was staring at that message, going, "What does that mean?" And I haven't even been drinking too much yet. I haven't, so I can't even blame it on that. But I did get it. It was like this thing that went off in my brain. It said ding, and I was like, I got it. And
after about 10 minutes, you know, you need to be a little bit faster than that.
I do, and I am sometimes. But this has been a weird day. Maybe the whole week has been weird. I can't believe it's Thursday already. The weeks are just,
you know, I cannot.
Flying by.
It's, you know, one minute it's you know, we were doing our Christmas show and it was all the excitement and all Christmas was going on and that. And now it's like with the kids. I mean, we've got, you know, we spend certainly all of December and sometimes a little bit before getting ready for Christmas. And, you know, it was like, you know, 3 days worth of wrapping presents and unwrapped in like 30 seconds. And then all the excitement. And then now it's all going back to school on Monday and it's all miserable and boring. And it's seriously?
Yeah, you know, my kid's already been back to school. He had, today's Thursday, so he had school Tuesday, when, I don't know. He's had school for a couple of days now.
Oh, really?
So already,
oh, poor lamb.
Yeah, we already know
poor
back
lamb.
To school.
No, mine are not back till Monday, although I don't see much of that. I mean, the little one's been on she's going to be on later, actually, which is great.
It's adorable.
She's been a friend's for sleepover commands. She's going to another friend's tomorrow, and the boy, he's either at his girlfriend's or in his room playing his PlayStation. And you know, I rarely see them. I miss them actually. Sometimes I just call him down and call her and just so I can see them.
Now you can go back to your room. Yeah.
Well, the scary thing with the boy is, you know, every time I see him, he's bigger.
Seriously, he's bigger.
Every time I see him, he's bigger.
Nice.
He shot past his mother's height ages ago, like a year ago. And it's funny, I predict, by the end of summer this year, last year, you know, he'll be, and he is, he's taller than me now. He's going to be huge.
Yeah. My son's
so,
way taller than they are. You know, my kid is, he's going to be 14 this year, this month, actually. I'm feeling old.
Yeah.
My baby is going to be 14. I'm not ready for that.
I'm not even going to tell you how old my oldest is.
My oldest will be 20 in March. I'm not old enough to have a 20-year-old. I'm not. I'm just not.
My oldest is, I think, 2 years off the age that I was when I had him, which is
a
sobering
like a
thought.
Yeah.
No, he's because I was, he's, what is he now? Jeez, yeah, I don't want to talk about it. It's scary. It is scary. It is scary.
Yeah.
I sort of, you know, having the young one, the little one around, I mean, it kind of helps me feel a bit younger. So when I'm out, yeah, I'm in the grocery store and people think I'm grandpa. They say, oh, you're helping Pop-Pops with the groceries. So just fuck off. Just fuck off. Get out of my fucking face. How dare you?
Well, that is a cool thing. When I you know, would go somewhere with my daughter, people would, you know, they would say something about us being sisters, and I would think, oh, that's just so sweet, and they're probably lying to me. But
maybe they're insulting your daughter. Maybe they're just saying she looks older and haggard.
I'm going to just think that they think I look young. I'm going with
that.
Yeah,
run with that.
Yeah.
You know, I never know what to say because, I mean, you know, is that your grandbaby? No, actually. No, I might look ancient, but I'm still fully functional, actually. Bucko. Bucko. Where's your 8-year-old kid? Like that, you see? So it just makes me feel a little bit superior on occasion, but most of the time I just feel old, to be honest with you. So, you know, in grand tradition, you know, we've got a few different things coming up this year for the show, but as is tradition, I've no idea what's going on this week. So what's going on this week, Xtina?
We have LB Dunbar on the show. She's going to be our first guest, and I'm really excited to talk to her. And our second guest, we have Ashley Shades. And again, I'm excited to talk to her. I've been Facebook friends with Ashley for quite some time, and it's going to be really cool to get to talk to her. So I can't wait to. It's going to be a girl fest
again. It's going to be another girl. It's going to be another X-chromosome fest, isn't it? Which is great.
Yeah.
I can sit back and take it easy. We're having some romantic evening this evening. Contemporary romance authors. We had mystery authors last week. Although they weren't that mysterious, I found.
They were great.
But not so mysterious. So these are romantic authors, which is nice. So I should have picked some romantic music, but I didn't.
I love that song, though. What is that called,
What called? It's In the Mood by the Glenn Miller Band. Oh, that's the Glenn Miller arrangement.
I'm going to ask you again after the show. You have to, like, tell me.
I'll send you the MP. I got my love of Glenn Miller off my dad, who's a great, great jazz, lover of jazz, and played in a jazz band many, many, many moons ago. I'm Glenn Miller. He was like the Jive Bunny of his day. I mean, it's just, do you remember Jive? I've just shown my age again there. You know, he was most like the Justin Bieber of his day, I suppose. But he disappeared during the war. He was flying over somewhere and his plane just vanished. So nobody knows what happened, which is kind of mysterious, really. Unlike John Denver, whose plane hit a mountain. So
there you go,
which is funny. I think he actually did sing "Rivers Deep, Mountain High," which is funny in an ironic sort of way. Obviously, the mountain was too high for his plane. So there you go, John. Watch it. Oh, too late. Never mind. Never liked him.
No, I didn't really care for him either. I can't say I hated him or anything. I just was like, whatever.
Didn't he do that Annie's song, which is the most depressing song? I mean, I'll have to dig it out and play. It's the most depressing song ever written. I mean, it's just like, What?
You know, I have, it's funny, I have a John Denver story, to be honest. When I was younger, and I was drinking, and me and my friend were drinking, we were at this this club, and there was this guy there that seriously looked just like John Denver. Either that, I was just that drunk, I'm not sure which. But, you know, if you told me, you know, can you name a John Denver song? I could not name one. But yet I still thought that this guy looked exactly like John Denver, which is strange because I was never a fan. I don't know much about him. So why would I be able to pick him out even, you know, I have no clue. But
I
was sure
that's
who it was. And I kept telling him.
Yeah.
I kept telling him all night, too. I'm like, you know, you look just like John Denver. Are you John Denver? I mean, it was just, I was pretty embarrassing. I'm sure I was, but it was.
I can imagine how embarrassing you were. Yes.
Hey, now.
I can imagine. I'm there. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear me. So, it is, it's a whole new year, isn't it? It's exciting. I think I'm still very childish in that respect because it's like, you know, you get to the sort of November, December, and that the year's getting tired and you're just glad to be rid of it. And then I just, all the excitement of a whole new year stretching out ahead of you and all the possibilities and excitement. And, you know, it's it'll wear off, I must admit. So come February, I'll be fed up with it again.
Already, yeah,
more
I'm
drudge.
Done with this year already. I'm done.
Yeah, is it not Christmas again yet? So more drudge.
I know. Yeah, the most wonderful time of the year is gone, and I get a little sad. I think I'm a tiny bit depressed. And
well, you know, you shouldn't be. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we have one up on all the people who died last year. Yeah.
Oh my God.
We're not dead, and that is a big bonus. Seriously, a big bonus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so embrace it. You know, embrace it and enjoy. And no matter how miserable your day is, you know, it's better than the alternative, really.
Yeah, I can't
say
much of that. You have a point. Yeah, you have a point.
There you go. You know, so a little bit of uncharacteristic optimism from me.
I know. I'm the one. I'm the optimistic one in this relationship, not you.
There you go. I promise to you know, cut that out by next week. So, anywho. What shall we do now? We have our guest. We have our first guest waiting. I presume it's her. So, if not, it's some mystery. Could be a mystery author because it's a mystery. We don't know who it is yet. So, should we?
We should.
We should bring on LB Dunbar. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Hello!
Happy New Year to both of you.
Happy New Year. Hopefully we've not depressed you too much. It's always a time for reflection, isn't it? Sort of the end of one year and beginning of a new one. And, you know, and it's all arbitrary, to be honest. It's all just, you know, seasons and whatnot, but I'm still excited in January. It's great.
Yeah.
So how are you anyway this evening?
Good. I'm excited, nervous to be here, but excited.
Nervous? Why should you be nervous? I would, you know, I
know, we're
I would
just,
be as well.
You know, I told her we're just, you know, a couple of friends chatting, and, you know, and of course we have our listener, and, you know, don't be worried. He's, you know, chained up in a, what is he, chained up in a basement, or does he chain people in a basement?
He keeps prostitutes in rolled up with the carpet in his basement.
That's it. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
There. So.
Dead ones. I mean, obviously there's nothing unhealthy about the guy. You know, he's not weird or anything.
Of course not. Yeah.
No.
Sounds
really innocent. I'm sure there's a perfectly plausible explanation for that. Maybe he just likes the carpet. I don't know. So, do we call you LB or L or B or Dunbar or what?
So, AU? LB is just fine. No,
LB, that's fantastic. Well, I never know when we have authors on and they're like, you know, they go by their initial. And it's like, well, yeah, we have. I mean, we have Patricia P. Martin.
And she goes by P. Yeah, P.
And we call her P. And I said, can I call you Patricia? No, you call me P. Great, okay, not a problem, P. Great, and we love her to bits, but I just can't get used to it. But I'm happy to call you LB. LB is here to talk about Redemption Island, the Island Duet Book 1.
Yes.
It's about redemption, funnily enough, forgiveness and love. So that sounds awesome. So tell us a bit more about it.
Well,
I mean, if you want, if you don't want, just up to you. Totally your show.
The story is basically about two people who committed a crime, and they were each sent to an island to sort of like reflect on the crime and receive redemption. And much to their dismay, the crime that they committed involved another person, and that person happens to be on the island with them. So they're both on the island together. And of course, they've committed the crime against each other, and now they have to seek redemption from the other person in order to sort of forgive themselves.
Is it like futuristic or utopian?
Nope, it's not futuristic. No? Nope, neither. It's very contemporary. It does have a little bit of a Native American background to it because there is a process called restorative justice out there where instead of a person going to jail, they go into this banishment period where they reflect on what they've done. And that's what this is about.
That's really
cool. So I just need to ask Xtina, what part of what part of contemporary don't you understand there?
Oh yeah, yeah, hey.
Is it set in the future? Yeah, it is that. Well done.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's my shining moment. This moment will have to be in our best of show. You know,
along with the comment about the butterflies. That was a crappy
one. I was just thinking about that today. You know, I don't think I laughed so hard ever. You know, I can't remember the last time I laughed so hard with that whole butterfly thing. But it didn't make any sense to me. But that happens a lot, I suppose. So no, the book gave me a total like Lost feel. Anybody a fan of the show Lost? Anybody like Lost?
No.
No, am I by
I've
myself
never seen
here?
It. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
Funny. I watched the first episode and it was all right.
Good.
It was a bit sort of trying to be David Lynch. I mean, the pilot was brilliant when it was, pardon the pun, with the effects of the plot and all the rest of it. And then the announcer had signed up for 7 seasons. Oh, for God's sake, really? And I just my interest just went. So I need to ask LB. Obviously, I've never written romance. I'm not sure if I could actually. I mean. How do you write romance? I mean, where does it come from?
Well, honestly, I have a very overactive imagination. That's the honest answer. I just do. Sometimes I see a person. The very first book that I wrote was just based on like a random person. I was watching him sort of interact with his daughter, and a story just came to mind, and there was my first book. And now I'm 21 books later, still writing.
21.
Romance.
21. Well, it's one of the, I mean, I have a very active, I'm saying obviously we're all writers here, you know, and we do, but I would love to be able to write a romance. It's one of the genres I'd really like to have a crack at, but I wouldn't know where to start. Seriously. I mean, I've kind of tried, but I think the closest I got was my short story, Zombie Hooker. It will bring a tear to the eye. It is. You read, seriously, you read it. It has a little romantic twist to it, but that's the closest I got, you know. But, I mean, you know, reading that you're going to be doing shortly for us. You know, it's kind of spicy there, but it's just this side of erotica, yeah?
This particular book, yes. For me, definitely. I write everything from sweet to this. This was much darker writing than what I'm used to, but it was so fun to write people who are just kind of like mean to each other at first and sort of sexually take it out on each other. So
I like
that. Sort of revenge sex. I mean, you know, doesn't get much better than that, I'm sure.
Very much. So,
I guess I was wondering, what is the difference between, like, you know, contemporary romance or erotica, and like, what is the what's the difference?
I think there's a big difference for a lot of people.
Well, because there's sex in it, right? I mean, so
true.
Yeah,
I think for most people, erotica is more on the BDSM, but there's kind of that fine line too, because some people can get, you know, very graphic in what they describe, and
that
would be considered erotica too. So it's a fine line, but I've been told that when the story is more about sex than a love story, then it's erotica.
Okay.
Well, I'm just, you know, with obviously the business head, I mean, the one of the biggest genres is erotica romance. You know, obviously the two entwine, which I can imagine is a very fine line to write. You know, is it going to be, it's like you say, if it becomes too erotic, it becomes porn pretty much, or it's too romantic, it gets too, you know, that again, that would be, from a business point of view, I'd love to be able to write that, but I'm not sure I could. Not with that, I would just go too far, I think. And there'd be zombies in it somewhere, and somebody would get killed, and be a demon. Funny story. I mean, a few years ago, I was actually commissioned to write the pilot for a sitcom, and it was really good. I wrote the sitcom. The guy gave me the characters, and he read it, and he came back. He said, "Love it. Could we take the torture scene out?" He said.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
all
right.
Torture scene.
I had a torture scene in the sitcom. Yes, I did, and he made me take it out. That was unreasonable. It's unreasonable.
We had a show, I think it was like last year or something, James, and I think we had a horror author on as well as an erotica author the same night. And I remember the horror author talking about, you know, he didn't think he would be very good at writing romance. He's like, because, you know, after the first kill, I don't know, it was just so funny. I mean, I just never know what the horror authors are going to say. It's pretty cool.
Well, it is. I think we speak to a lot of writers, you know. I mean, I think in many ways our brains are wired similarly, but there are different levels, you know, different types of wiring, I guess, you know, and which is why we sort of lean towards specific genres, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I want to hear the reading, personally.
I was just going to ask, geez.
There you go.
Okay. All right, so you want me just to read the couple pages I sent?
Yeah, go for it. The airwaves are yours.
Okay, so as we said, this is from a book called Redemption Island, and it starts, "The snap of a twig roused me from dozing. The storm outside howled, and the rain beat on the heavy canvas over my head, but that crack of wood was more than the trees whipping in the wind. I sat up abruptly, wiping a hand through my unruly hair. The island didn't offer barber services, I mocked, and my hair was growing out of control in the heat. I turned my head to the side, angled toward the tent opening, and waited a beat, listening for another sound of movement unrelated to the storm. It felt as if the wind had actually stopped, standing still and holding its breath, just like me. Crack! The instant the noise echoed through my tent, I leapt for the entrance. Standing upright, I stared at the empty darkness, the low embers of my campfire still smoldering, but drowned of color by the rainfall. Drops instantly soaked my hair. On the other side of the fire ring, the outline of a female body did not surprise me. It was as if she emerged from the darkness, sleek with curves, slick with the moisture of rain. Instantly, I went hard at the thought of her body. She'd been damp when I touched her. Her body responding despite her struggle. The luscious bend to her hourglass form vibrated under my palm on that night. The memory was instantaneous and just as sharply retreated. Angry energy vibrated off of her. A snap of lightning illuminated the light, and the glint of metal at her side caught my attention. A long serrated knife rested at her thigh, grasped in her tight, tiny fist as if an extension of her arm. My eyes shot up to her face, pinched and focused on me. She hadn't spoken, and seconds beat slowly down my heart, flowing down my heart rate to a crab's crawl over sand. Her chest heaved, but other than that, she did not move. A thousand questions filled my head as I stared at her narrowed eyes. Rain plastered her hair to her forehead. Her damp clothes clung to her, accentuating an outline I'd experienced too hastily. The thought made my dick leap, standing erect at attention, but I doubted she was here for another pass with me. She'd made her intentions clear after that night. She killed my best friend. "Have you come to kill me?" I shouted, uncertain if she could hear me over the patter of rain hitting the canvas behind me. I should have been afraid, but I wasn't. My heart rate accelerated with the thrill of her anger. She remained fierce in her stance despite her smaller frame, her intentions clearly etched in her wet face. I stepped toward her. Lightning crackled, again brightening the sky, and she flinched. The hesitancy cost her, and I rounded the fire ring. Her head rose, her shoulders straightened, but I noticed her shiver. "Come inside," I offered, hoping to lure her into my tent. The rain was cold and she was soaked. She stood like a caged animal ready to leap, and I used my softest tone to tempt her. "You're all wet." The innuendo was clear. The thought rose the hairs on my skin, and I smiled slowly in hopes to calm her. This smirk had worked a million times to earn women in my bed. My body hummed with the desire to have her. I didn't even give a thought to the knife at her side until she raised it level with my head. Her chest rose with calculated breaths, but I held out my hand, offering to take the weapon from her. She didn't accept my offering, and we stood in a match of wills while the rain continued pelting our faces with sharp stings like repeated slaps of attention. "Look at me," she seemed to say with the negative energy rolling off her skin. "I want you to see me," I responded with bitterness in my mouth. Neither words were spoken aloud, but that slapping rain forced our intentions to speak. I turned my back to her, a mistake when presented with a woman who held a weapon, but I expected her to follow me. If my death was what she wanted, she'd have to work for it. Curiosity got the best of me, and I spun to face her. To my surprise, she stood immediately behind me. She hadn't made a sound, as if she floated over the ground. Her breath mixed with mine in the cool mist rain. Half a step, and her breast would drag over my chest. The solid length of my shorts stood erect and ramrod ready, hanging on a thread of desire to pull her into the tent and enter the warmth of a feminine body. The ends of my fingers curled with the need to grab her and tug her close to me. She still had not uttered a word. I risked at half pace and drew up against her, my lids closed with the nearness of her. My body vibrated as it craved a female instead of the large palm of my fist. Her warm breath came out harsh against my neck, her exaggerated exhale only increasing the tremors of my body. "Why are you here?" The deepness to her voice was nearly a growl, guttural and irritated. It snapped me out of my fantasy. Was it possible she didn't recognize me? Could she have forgotten what happened? The thought was ludicrous. Even I knew the answer. No woman would forget what we'd done. That was Rick's purpose. Make her never forget we're in charge and make her demand to be taken again. I wanted admission into the club. Submission was the trend, and my dominant nature fed off the thrill. I needed to learn more. She was my first victim. I ignored her questioning tone. I would never forget her face. I'd already seen all of her, but not in a way a man should see a woman. The proof was on the tape, the one mentally engraved in my brain. As if she read my thoughts, I sensed the slow rise of metal to my left. She dragged the long dagger dangerously close to my arm, slowly lifting it as if she was skinning an animal and taking care not to damage the carcass. Level with my neck, she paused, her violet eyes alight with hunger, desiring revenge. "Kill me," I hissed. Our hearts beat in random tandem. "Will that make it better for you?" My sharp words exhaled outward, brushing over her too close face. "You'll have one more death to live with." The final comment answered an unasked question. She knew me. She knew damn well who I was, and I knew her. Her body visibly quaked under the pelting rain. Her clothes were saturated, leaving nothing to the imagination. I could almost see her heart beating under her skin. My thick hand came to her wrist, and I forced the knife to my neck. "Do it," I whispered, spitting at her, allowing my words to wash her cheeks as they mixed with the rain. Her eyes leapt from her concentration on my neck to my face. The movement cost her. I lowered her raised fist and twisted her wrist, forcing her to spin, pinning her arm to her back. This was the position I had desired her on that night. I didn't want to look at her. I couldn't face her, but I had seen her. The universe had returned her to me, or some sick twist of fate wanted me endlessly tortured. 100 things passed through my head, curses and comments, lascivious and lurid. I wanted to own her again, but something stopped me. The press of her back to my chest or the racing of my heart caused me to pause. this cost me. As my forehead lowered to rest on the back of her head shot back, connecting with my nose. I dropped her wrist as a searing pain ripped upward to my skull. My eyes watered and I sucked in a sharp breath. Ew! I stopped myself from the obscenity. The idea of her as a caged animal returned. She was acting on instinct, I reminded myself. I wasn't going to hurt you, I said quietly to the space between us, as she had already escaped around the firing. Her retreat only taunted me. She was a little mouse, and I was a lion ready to pounce. She continued to run. Don't make me chase you, I threatened louder, watching her disappear between the heavy foliage. Instantly, she was lost, swallowed up by the thick greenery and a dark night, and I choked on my words. I didn't mean them. This was no longer a game. I wouldn't follow her. She nearly killed me. She wanted to kill me. The thought gave me pause. I didn't do anything wrong, I screamed to the jungle. My voice bellowed over the trees, hoping to God she heard me. I hadn't. No, you didn't do anything, echoed through my head, cursing me in reply. I'm sorry I didn't do anything, I added, muttering to the saturated sand below my feet. I was sorry, sorrier than I'd ever been. The end.
That was a fantastic reading. I have to read this book. That was
Thank
really
you.
Great.
I was enjoying that. You stopped. And I was just,
I know.
Oh,
sorry.
Can't stop there.
That's the end of the chapter.
That was awesome. Oh, boo.
I'm curious to know why you picked out an excerpt from the is the book dual point of views or is it just his or
No, it is dual point of view. So that was mainly from his point of view, of course.
Yeah.
And it alternates between the two of them based on the number of days they're stuck on the island.
I know that in the first part of the reading, you read, you said my dick in the reading, and I remember going, that's so weird to say. Is that weird to say?
Oh,
do you think?
To read out loud. Yeah.
Well, come on, James. If you were reading, out loud, my vagina, you don't have one, so that's kind of...
Well,
my female voice.
I have written from the point of view of female and
yeah,
didn't get all girly about it enough, Finn, to pardon the pun.
I do find it fascinating too, that it just seems like there have been certain authors that I have read and they do the dual point of view, and when we're in, if it's a woman writing and we're in the man's head, there are times that I just don't buy it. You know what I mean? I'm like, they're not doing a good job of portraying that this is, a male's thoughts, but I did not feel that. I thought that it was done wonderfully, and that's, I guess, my, is it strange? I mean, did you connect just that well with the character that it didn't make it strange?
Oh, I loved these two characters. I tell all my readers this book was a book that seriously, almost possessed me. I mean, it only took to write these two stories together. I did nothing but, type and dream them. And I love to write male point of view, actually. I mean, I hope I do them credit, but I like to, I guess, kind of be in the guy's head, so.
Yeah, that's...
It works very well. I think, as Xtina said, we read some... I think more often, I think you read, men sort of writing as women, and it can be dreadful. It can be painful to read because they're just so wide. Seriously, they write how they... think
they
a woman,
think.
Rather than how it is. But yeah, you say you do get some authors that just hit the nail on the head and it works, but it can be difficult. It can be difficult, but
I'm sure I'm a little at fault of that too, though, because I am female. I'm trying to pretend I'm a man.
Right,
so.
Right. Good job, though, really. Right.
It's probably easier as a woman to pretend to be a man than a man pretending to be a woman, because as a woman, there's a lot more bits to deal with.
Yeah.
With a man, it's fairly straightforward. You've got that, and you've got those under it. That's it, really. End of.
Yeah.
You've not got all these secret bits and, hidden bits and all that tucked away and everything. It's just, there it is, and that's it. What you see is what you get.
Yeah, and so men, I think men are, you know, for the most part, pretty easy to kind of figure out, you think. And women, most of the time, we don't even know how we feel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, especially
exactly.
when you try to get into a woman's head, you know, as a male writer, you know, it's just such a complicated mess in there. But as a bloke said, there's two things going on, well, three probably, sleep, eat, and sex. That's pretty much it. That's it. All,
keep
you know,
simple.
Everything else is
keep
just background noise. But that's it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. So what are you working on now, LB?
Actually, my next book comes out the end of January. And it's a story for the over 40. That's what I call it. It's more of a rom-com, so romantic comedy, about dating when you're a little bit older. So many books, at least the books that I read, the characters are pretty young. And
yeah.
Because I'm over 40, I just like to write from the aspect of what would it be like if you had to date again and you hadn't done it for a really long time. So that's this one. I've written one before called The Sex Education of ME. And it was really popular, so I thought I would do it again. And I'm really excited for this next one to come out. So,
you know, I saw a post just recently from, I don't even know who it was, but they were asking if, you know, it was a Facebook post, and they're asking the opinions of, you know, do we like to read about older couples? And they're like, you know, late 20s, 30s. I'm thinking, That's old couples now?
That's not old. Those people are still
that's
babies.
That's pedophilia, that, isn't it? I mean, seriously. Old.
Yeah.
Old.
No.
It's funny, actually. I was a while ago tossing around ideas with another writer who she's gone into sort of filmmaking now, based in New York. And she was sort of, I think she'd sort of preliminary written a script based on guys who sort of were attracted to grandmothers.
Okay.
And, you know, I thought, that, what a great, you know, what a good sort of an Owen,
like
Owen
an
Wilson
Award
and Vince Vaughn type comedy based on, call
yeah.
it GILF. GILFs, about guys
GILF.
Who seduce great grandmothers. I mean, that would be brilliant. That would be brilliant. Nobody would go see the movie, but I think as a novel, that could be fun. As a dark comedy novel, that would be brilliant. That would
yeah.
be brilliant.
There you
so,
go. That's your first romance. The romance.
There you go.
Right. Is there right
old
there.
People romance. Yeah, but I find the whole thing and speaking as, you know, as an old person, obviously, I find the whole thing so horribly gross. You know, I mean, and this is just between us girls. You know, I'm still attracted to the same sort of, the same age group that I was sort of when I'm in my 20s and 30s, which makes me a
you
bit
know.
Creepy now. Makes
yeah.
me a bit creepy. Mm.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My boyfriend is older than me by, you know, a few years, and he actually tells me that I am too old for him, you know, because I think he's in that thing too where he's still, you know, attracted to the girls. I don't know, it's just weird. And like, you're
I mean,
older
to be fair,
than
who's
going to
be attracted to a 70-year-old woman? I mean, seriously. Never going to happen. I'm sorry. Flowery the ball you want, never going to happen. No fucking way.
Even if
sorry.
You're a 70-year-old guy?
No.
Really?
A 70-year-old guy will still be attracted to a 22-year-old girl. I'm not that old, but I know. You know, it was many
that's
years ago, again, when I was... Sorry,
that's actually what my book... that's one thing that my book says, is that women age and men sort of like improve with age, and how
yeah.
unfair is that?
Awful.
You know?
It is. It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but we die. We die earlier. So come on, give us something. You know, you've got to give us that. I think because emotion. Well, I mean, again, speaking as a biologist, because I am qualified. You know, the female body goes downhill, you know, a lot quicker and a lot more dramatically than the male body. You have, I mean, look at James Doohan, who played Scotty in Star Trek. He and Anthony Quinn as well. They fathered children in their 80s.
Wow.
So you know, we can still, as long as it's still relatively, you know, working down there, we can father children. No, whereas a woman, you know, you no.
No.
No, it just no, it stops working. It stops working and dries up, you know, fairly early on.
And we're kind of thankful for that, actually, though.
I'm, are you? Really?
Yeah.
No.
I have four children. I'm done. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but once you've done the reproductive bit, isn't that should be when, you know, the whole sex thing becomes for fun. You know, this is for recreation. You know, not
exactly.
I've done my bit now. That's it. I keep fathering children. That's my problem. I was actually once described as being freakishly fertile. Yeah, which is why I have a child of sort of 25, 26, and I have one of 8. So it just I need to stop now. I really do need to stop. I need to retire.
This has been so much fun.
Moving on.
We're pretty much out of time for our first segment, so we are going to have to say goodbye. But can you tell us where we can find you online, LB?
Yes. My books are all available from Amazon, and they're also in their KU program for people who like that subscription read. And then I'm available on all social media. I hang out on Facebook way too much. I love to connect with people there. So that's probably the easiest place to find me is on Facebook.
Awesome. We do have your stock links put up on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to stock LB, they can go there and do it. And, we had such a great time. You have to promise to come back and see us.
Definitely.
Yay!
Thank you so much for asking me.
It's been fun. Thank you. And thank you for the reading was phenomenal. I'll chase you up and I need a copy of the book. I need a freebie, to be honest. I've not had a freebie for a while, so I'm gonna hit you up for freebie, because if I am that tight. So no, I would love to read that. So that's my kind of romance. That I could get into that definitely. So thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
All right, thank you. You guys have a good night.
Have a jolly evening.
Uh-huh.
Okay, bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, that flew by far too quickly. So
it's
almost break time. So I guess do some commercials first, and then we'll go into the break. Yeah.
Okay. This is the Okay. Here we go. Let's see. The Panic Room Radio Show sponsor, Hellbound Books Publishing, is proud to bring you their latest anthologies, The Big Book Bootleg Horror 3, by invitation only, with proceeds going to the awesome Alzheimer's charity Hilarity for Charity. And Shopping List Volume 2, both are available on all platforms. Go to hellboundbookspublishing.com to learn more. We also are proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with our very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out New Erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com. And we're also on iTunes now. Yay.
Thanks for that.
It was an afterthought.
So,
I just remembered that.
we'll be back in 4 minutes and 45 seconds time for a good old wee.
Don't wish it away, don't look at it like it's forever. Between you and me, I could honestly say that things can only get better. I guess I
Welcome back to part two.
Well, welcome back. A little bit of Reginald Dwight there. A little bit of Reg. So, yeah, I had time for a big old wee there. What, did you open another bottle there, Xtina?
I did. I didn't have to.
I knew it.
Yeah.
You didn't have to wee. Well, that's it. You obviously, when you get to talk about age, it's kind of a bit of a theme this evening. You're whining about. Maybe it's because it's a new year, you know, realize it's another year, you know. But there you go. There you go. So, a little bit of a special treat for our listener. I've got a bit of a new jingle for her. We've got, here we go. Are we ready for this? Here we go.
I like it a lot.
we've got it's India Con, and she can do your Dumma Dumma. It's brilliant.
I like it a lot.
There we go. How cool is that?
Yay! That was great.
So yeah, welcome India. We're still on holiday for the God. She only does about 3 days of school a year at the moment, so
no.
You're never in. You're never there. So. What we're going to do tonight, we've got a new, brand new 11 questions, so we're going to test them. India has agreed to be our guinea pig, yeah?
I'm not a guinea pig.
A guinea pig? No, you're not a literal guinea pig. We do have, we could go
I
fetch Fred.
I love guinea
pigs. We have one. We have a white fluffy one called Fred, who is, oh, have you fed him, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, well done.
Dave needs more food.
Hmm?
Dave
Spikey the hedgehog, his food's running out, so Dave.
And you said his name is Fred? That is so cute. I had a guinea pig when I was younger named Freddie, and then I had one named Jason, and they were named for Freddie and Jason, of course. Yeah.
Awesome. So. Maybe we should have called the hedgehog Pinhead. That would have been awesome, wouldn't it? Because he literally has spikes sticking out of his head, which is brilliant. But yeah, so okay, are we ready? Let's do the jingle. We're going to do 11 questions with brand new, all new 11 questions with India. So here we go.
And now, 11 questions.
Okay, number one, your best or worst movie you ever saw?
I think the worst one I saw was Annabelle.
Really? Annabelle. You didn't like that? I didn't care for it either. I can't say it was the worst I ever saw, but I definitely
enjoyed
didn't care.
Annabelle Creation, though.
Yeah.
Annabelle
was boring.
Scared the crap out of me,
that's so true.
Annabelle was boring.
It was boring. Mm. Okay?
Yep. I agree with her. Okay. What was the first grown-up horror novel you read? See, these are, you know, okay, I'm not going to.
I don't think she's read a grown-up horror novel.
I don't
What's the scariest book you've ever read?
I think the scariest book I've ever read was a bit of the Bloody Mary one.
The Bloody Mary book. That is kind of scary, yes.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, here's a good one. I like this question. What's your favorite cuss word?
My favorite cuss word is fuck.
Yay! Family oh tradition. My God. Family tradition. Well done.
That's so great. That's adorable. My son is 14, and he still says when I'm around, he calls it the F word. So.
Wow.
Yeah, we're not in this house. We don't.
No.
Yeah. Okay, what would be the worst way you can imagine yourself dying? Why am I asking her this before bedtime, James?
I don't know.
I think the worst way would be to burn in lava.
Burning lava. That's a good one.
Bad way, yeah.
A fiery death. That is nasty.
What was your very first pet?
Huh?
What was your first pet?
What was your first pet?
I think my very first mm-hmm. one, I think, was my fish.
That was your goldfish, yeah. Fishy Bob.
Fishy Bob and my black one.
Yeah.
My black one, definitely.
Okay, who's your biggest influence?
Daddy. Mommy.
Ooh.
Boo. Mummy never says fuck. You got that off me. I'm proud.
Yeah.
I'm proud.
Okay.
Yeah, but
you
she's taking me to New York.
Ooh. Okay, she'd be my favorite too then.
Mm.
Okay, if you were God or goddess for a day, what would you do?
If you were God, what would you do?
If I were God, I would steal everybody's chocolates and eat them.
Brilliant. Brilliant. You know what? You know what I'd do if I was God for a day?
What?
I'd get myself a Black & Decker workmate.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, who or what is the crappiest horror or supernatural being?
Werewolves or vampires or what's the worst? Zombies? Zombies are a bit rubbish.
Yeah, I'd agree with
zombies.
Zombies?
Yeah, zombies are
You don't like zombies? Really? Zombies are pretty cool, I think. Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, well, I won't judge you too hard.
You're being judged now.
Oh, God, I am. That's horrible. Okay. this is a disturbing question, I think. But blame your dad, because he came up with them. If it were legal to do so, would you eat human flesh?
Probably.
Really?
Just to try it.
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you cook it and you deep fry it, maybe.
With onions. Oh, yeah. Fries and mushy peas.
Okay,
yeah.
Moving right along.
I'm hungry now.
Gross. Who is your favorite member of the British royal family?
Do you know any of the British royal family?
I don't even know the Queen.
Go for the Queen.
The Queen of England.
Yeah, okay.
She's pretty awesome, the Queen.
Ooh, what do you like best? Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street, Hellraiser, or Saw?
Halloween.
Woohoo! I agree. Yay. Halloween. That's a good answer. Yeah, your dad would have said Hellraiser, but no, we're going with Halloween.
Duh. Mm-hmm.
In our last question was, what's your least favorite part of the writing process? And because we got to hear a wonderful story last week, the tooth story, so, you know, this is a good question for you. So what's your least favorite part about writing?
What's the worst part when you have to write a story?
When it's like, when you actually have to write it and it's like long and your hand and your fingers and your hands cramp up.
Oh yeah, that is the worst part. It is. That's a good answer.
Excellent. So how did we do?
Are you asking me? I think we did great.
Give me a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. There Woo! You go. Well done. Yes. Well done. So I think those are some winning questions.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say this here. You know, for a whole year we did 11 questions that turned out to be only actually 10 questions, which I did not pick up on for a very long time. And, you know, here I have 11 questions, and come to find out there's actually 12 of them. So
yay! So there's an extra one to make
I caught it, though. I caught it right away. Well, maybe not right away, but very,
they were numbered,
a lot sooner.
That's why.
I'm doing really good.
They were all numbered, that's why. So, thank you. Thank you, Indie Pop. So it should be time for Becky the reviewer, I think.
Yeah.
Or is it? What happens next? I don't know. Let's go
it's
for
Becky.
It.
Hey, looks like it's time to review something. Oh no!
Howdy, ma'am.
Hi.
Hi there, y'all. Say hi to Becky.
Hi, India.
So hey, Becky, the reviewer
good
time.
With the questions.
Did she do well or what? That was awesome. That
give
especially
me a 10
on the 10. On the Hume eating on the cannibalism question. That was brilliant. Definitely a chip off the old block there.
Yeah.
I don't know who wouldn't. I mean, you know, I surely the experience alone.
Yeah. She's a keeper.
She's a farter. She's farted on my lap. That's great.
Oh, my God.
So, Becky, what do you have for us for this evening?
The Pleasure Hunt by Jacob Floyd is published by Hellbound Books. It's about Cupid has met a I can't say the word.
Succubus.
Yeah. I can't ever say that. I always get tongue-tied. He falls for her in a really huge way. He experiences the light and the terrors of her world. So, you know, you kind of ask, oh, God, does he escape or can he? Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, read the book. A dark and mysterious stranger warns him to get away from her. Does he listen?
Of course not.
I'm not telling you that one either. He's really right. I mean, he's really, really talented. I love the way that his voice shines through in this. And it is, it's really, really easy to fall into the story. And I will definitely read more of his writing. Definitely.
I have to agree. I love the book. I read the book, and I thought it was great. He's definitely a great writer, and I love he was just so consumed with Dark Dance.
I
love that. And because it was written in, we were inside the main character's head, he didn't think he was weak. I love that. You know, he didn't see that he was absolutely freaking insane over this chick. But we could see it. You know, we weren't.
Right.
You know, I thought that was really cool, the way he did that.
It's nice, like anyone with an obsession, you know, everybody sees it but them. So so how many Becky the Reviewer stars would you give it, Becky?
I would give it 8.5 out of 10.
Woohoo!
Fantastic. Fantastic. And it is, and where can we find this awesome title?
On hellboundbookspublishing.com.
Fantastic. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Okay, so look, we need to dash, because India sort of, you know, hogged the airwaves a little bit. So
I'm okay with that.
So thank you for the review, and we will speak to Becky next week.
Thank you, Becky.
All right, I'll talk. Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, right.
Bye.
Bye,
India. I hear you whispering, James. What are you whispering?
And hopefully we've got Ashley on the line. Ashley, are you there, Mom?
I'm here.
Yay!
Hello!
Hi.
It is so awesome to get to talk to you. We've been Facebook friends for a while, and we're in some, you know, chat rooms and things together, and it's awesome to get to talk to you. So, hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm a little nervous, but I'm here. How are you? Hi, James.
Hello.
I'm great. This I think Thursdays are one of my favorite nights. You really are, and I always look forward to our shows. And you know, even I can't even say when, you know, there's some days I don't feel like it. You know, I've had a bad day, and I'm like, oh gosh, I just wish I could go to bed. But every time the show starts, it becomes, you know, I'm like, yay, and I'm all excited again,
and you send that energy all over.
So
Ashley, just to clarify for Xtina, it's a contemporary romance author, so that means it's set sort of now, Xtina, not in the future,
not in the future.
Or, you know,
Edwardian
times, perhaps, you know, so just to tidy that one up for you. So Ashley's here to talk to us about her book, A Heartless Invitation, which is book number two of a series, yeah?
Yes, it is.
How many books is the series going to be?
I plan on 3 for this series, but we'll see how the book 3 goes.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about the series?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Can you tell us a little bit about the series?
It is set in an elite club that caters to people that are into BDSM, but they have high-profile careers, and they don't. It's more of like a secret society type of a thing. And it didn't even start out that way when I started out with the first book. The first book was just supposed to be like a quick short story. But as I was writing that, it came to me like, I need to do more with the characters. So the second book was born.
So, you know, again, I wanted to ask, you say, you know, it says contemporary romance, but, you know, this sounds more like erotica. Is it pretty hot? Is it, and what is, I still don't know what the difference is, because there's sex in contemporary romance, right? I mean,
there is.
Is it more of like a fade to black kind of like thing with contemporary romance, which is, you know, erotica, you just go, you know, I don't know, is that the difference or?
With book one, it was more just erotica. With this book, there's more of a story to it. So I guess that's what would differentiate it between one or the other. Me, I'm just an author, so I write all different genres. So this one's more like a contemporary erotic romance, I guess you would say. So it's not just plain erotica, even though there's erotic scenes in it.
Right. Awesome. What do you prefer writing? Do you have a preference?
I like the hot stuff.
Yeah, I like to read the hot stuff.
Yeah, I like writing that. But I did have fun writing more of a clean time travel one that I wrote for an anthology I was in before, and I had fun writing that. So I just something that will get me to expand on what I'm stuck in my little box of doing. I enjoy doing that.
Do you have a reading for us? I'm anxious to hear more about your book.
I do, and it is unedited, so hopefully it reads well. This is actually from part of chapter 2.
Okay.
And this is from Master Andrew's point of view.
Okay.
Reaching the door, he opened it and felt himself relaxed at the sight of Carlina, standing in a submissive stance near the bed in the room he kept for days and nights such as this. Latching the door, he turned to face her, removing first his jacket and then unbuttoning his shirt, as he said, "Thank you for your prompt obedience, Carlina." "Yes, Master," she replied, head still bent and her gaze on the floor. "I did not ask you here for your pleasure today, Carlina. Today I need a release. Do you accept that?" "Yes, Master." It was imperative he receive not only her permission, but her acceptance that he would be using her body. He never before touched a woman without her consent, and he wasn't about to start now. "Good," he said. "Come to me," he commanded. She walked to him, her eyes focused on his chest, not making any eye contact with him, obedient. When she was a foot away, she stopped. After inspecting her from head to toe, he lifted her chin with his forefinger. "Are you ready?" She nodded her head. "Words, Carlina, you know better." "Yes, Master." "Go to the bed and bend forward. I want your ass in the air." She obeyed, and he enjoyed the view of her naked body ready for him on display, waiting to please him and provide his body with the release it desperately needed. And that was exactly what he would do, use her body for his personal pleasure. He would reward her for it next time, maybe, but this time was for him and him alone. He approached the bed and stood behind her. He lifted his hand and trailed his fingers down her spine, from her neck to the dimple above her rounded ass cheeks. Her back arched under his touch, and her flesh bubbled from both a chill and excitement, anticipation. She moaned, and he gave her right ass cheek a slap. "Not a fucking sound, Carlina. Control." "Yes, Master," she whispered. He knew the torture she was feeling. He knew her body well after the months he had both used her and pleasured her. Months she had serviced him. She would enjoy this as much as he would, but he demanded control and obedience during his encounters at all times. Trouble arose when you lost control, and he would not allow that to happen. It was already bad enough he felt he was losing control of his mind and thoughts due to Miss Shaw. He knelt on the floor, bringing his face close to her body, and inhaled the sweet scent. His body responded to it, knowing it would soon be inside her warmth. He leaned forward and flicked the tip of his tongue across her small bud, and he heard her hiss as she held back the groan of pleasure he knew she felt. He licked again and again before plunging his tongue deep within her opening, tasting her juices. He loved the taste of women even more when he knew that they were under his command. Yes, they experienced great amounts of pleasure from his little act, but he reaped the benefits as well. This part was more for him than for the woman, regardless of the ecstasy they felt. A moment later, he was done, finished with the appetizer and ready to move on to the main course, the fucking. He stood, and after retrieving a foil packet from the stand near him, he covered himself before guiding his cock into her tight hole. I'm going to fuck you now, Carolina, and when I am done, you will stand, dress, and leave. Do you understand? Yes, master, came her breathless reply. He entered her then, grabbing onto the flesh of her hips and surging forward with as much force as he knew she could handle, burying himself to the hilt, deep within her waiting body. He grunted at the sensation of his cock engulfed in warm, wet body. He knew this was Carolina, but his mind kept picturing the firm roundness of Miss Shaw's ass cheeks, coloring as he spanked her. He tried his best to rid his mind of the sight of her soaked thongs in her mouth as she accepted the punishment he doled out on her. Squeezing his eyes shut to fight the images, he pulled out and plunged in again, pausing and repeating. His rhythm picked up speed as he slid himself in and out of her body. His balls tightened, signaled his impending climax. So he slammed one more time into her as his body gave up its release. Spurt after spurt of his hot cum filled the condom he wore. Once his body was finished, he pulled out and away from her, making his way to the bathroom to dispose of the protection as he gave her a few moments to dress and leave. He leaned against the bathroom counter, spent, placing his hands on each side of the sink. He bent forward as he fought to control his breath, angry at himself for losing control. Damn Miss Shaw, damn her to hell, and damn him for not having the strength to resist the thought of her.
Wow, that was hot.
That was yes.
Woo.
Indeed, I'm blushing. I'm blushing over here.
I'm blushing. I wrote it and I'm blushing just reading it aloud. I've never done that before.
You know, I have to give all the ladies who come on and they do a reading like that. I have to give you so much credit because one of our early shows, I read a poem of mine, and it was kind of erotica, you know, and it said the word cock. And I know that after I said that, I think I was blushing, my face got all hot. Nobody could see me, of course, but I about died. And you, wow, and you guys just, wow, that was awesome. It really was.
Thank you.
So hot. And I guess, you know, when people write and they, you know, they do research maybe for the characters or the situations or anything. So how much research goes into this kind of, or is it, you know, a firsthand experience?
Unfortunately for me, it's not very much of firsthand experience with this particular book. So I have been doing a lot of research, a lot of reading, not with the first book, but for this specific book, I have been doing a lot because I don't want to portray this going in just, you know how like you read some books and you're like, yeah, that's just, it's fantasy. I want to get it more real. I want the characters to be relatable to the people who have gone through this or experienced these circumstances. I don't want it just to be like a coloring for it,
right,
if that makes
right.
sense.
Definitely. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I'm a little scattered still because of that. I think I got hot and I'm sweaty and I need to turn the fan on or something.
You've actually made us speechless. Well done. Never happens. That was great. No, that was really good. I mean, it's funny when people say, you know, romance to me, and it's all, you know, built Mills and Boone, and I don't know if you guys got Barbara Cartland over here, or, you know, the sort of, you know, the Body Strippers, the, you know, the flowery,
yeah.
But that, I mean, no, that's proper romance, yeah? you know, if E.L. James had written that well, then 50 Shades would have been, you know, a decent book. Sadly, she did not.
Wow.
She did not.
Well,
but, you know,
a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you're welcome. No, it you know, it's beautifully written, you know, and that is, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of left me a little bit flustered as well at this end. So I'm out of my
head.
Well,
that scene was hard for me to write because that's the first time I've written a scene where the main male character, he wasn't intimate in any way with the lead female that is supposed to be his heroine, so to speak. So this is him using another woman, which for me is hard.
Yeah.
That it took me outside of my comfort zone to write that kind of, because I love reading them, but writing them is always the man and the woman, they're together, and those are the who they stay with. And
yeah.
It's not the case in this book.
And
well, you know, it's sometimes a good thing, you know, to you know, get out of your comfort zone. You know, I mean, and it, you know, you've written it very well. Perhaps because of that, because you felt uncomfortable writing it. You know, it's a very intense scene. You know, so it comes across incredibly well.
I like the spanking part. That was
yeah. Well, you would, wouldn't you? You just have to lower the tone, don't you? Seriously.
That was really hot. So, Cody, who do you like to read when you're not writing that really hot stuff? Like who?
Oh, goodness. Lots of different people. I don't stick to a specific genre. Well, obviously romance and stuff like that, but I go from like historical romances, like the clean ones, to people like I read Isabella Starling or Willow Winters, and right now I'm getting ready this weekend to read one from Jackson because I'm doing a takeover in his group on Friday, and he just released a book and I was really looking forward to it from a takeover I had seen done before, and the book it's the emotion part of the book from just the teaser. I'm like I gotta read that. So read a whole bunch of different ones. I know R.B. O'Brien, I read her Thorn series, which was amazing. Like, just, so it's just all over the place.
Shout out to R.B. I don't think she's listening because she had to go to bed, but there was a shout out to her. I wanted to bring up our the New Romantics anthology, Pieces of Us, which is such a beautiful book. I love the cover, and I don't know if James knows this, but We are in this this anthology. They have a poem in there, and it's you know so I wanted to.
Was amazing.
It is. I love it. It's a beautiful book. It really is. I haven't been able to read all of it yet, but it is so good. And there's so many talented people that have contributed to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Reading through some of them, it's just amazing to see just the whole collective of, you know, the sweetness or the heartbreak or the horror. You know, it's a mixture of all of them, and it's amazing to see how them all come together to create just one masterful piece for people to
definitely
enjoy.
Definitely. And the funny part is that the quote-unquote dark poet actually has a mushy gushy love poem in there, and
yeah,
and
I was surprised at your entry in that. That was if anyone hasn't read it yet, they should read it.
Yes,
if,
definitely.
For no other reason than to hear yours or to read yours.
And it's up on Amazon. It's so people go there and click on it and buy it and
yeah, buy the book, people.
$99
Yeah, yeah.
You can't beat it for like 20 some authors in it. So,
So what are you working on now?
A whole bunch of different things. I can never concentrate. My mind is always scattered, so I can never concentrate on just one project at a time. So right now I'm trying to work on finishing up A Heartless Invitation, and I am going to be in From Paris with Love, which is an anthology. It's a book. One of an anthology series, and that's going to be released in a couple months here, and then we'll see if going from there. I have a few other books in the works that I've already started and then put aside to finish A Heartless Invitation.
Awesome. You sounds very, very busy. I spend most of my time pretending that I'm really, really busy, but
well, you pretend so well. You do it so well.
I do. I do.
Actually, yeah, I'm not busy enough.
I think sometimes I fool myself into thinking, wow, you're so busy right now. And, you know, that pretty much means I'm scrolling Facebook. But, you know, then I call it networking, and I can rationalize my, you know, my bad behavior. I'm just networking right now. I'm busy.
Well, it's funny. I mean, you know, some days I, you know, I don't feel like writing. I'll just watch a movie, and it's research. You know,
right, there you
it
go.
Is, right?
It's research.
Or listen to some music. You get some
something.
Ideas that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or watch it, you know, be something completely different. In fact, I've just finished watching, binge watching the new season of Black Mirror. Anybody who's not seen that, watch it. It is.
What is it
awesome.
Even about? I don't know anything about
I
it.
I haven't even heard of it before.
This was series three. Each series, each season, like six episodes, and it's sort of like a one-hour movie, almost like a modern-day Twilight Zone, if you can imagine,
oh.
but with a sort of a technological twist to it. And they're on Netflix. It's a Netflix original. I will wholeheartedly recommend it. I mean, if you love dark, you have a bit of sci-fi, a little bit of. You know, incredibly well done, well filmed, great ideas. There was one of this season was actually, the episode two was directed by Jodie Foster. So, you know,
oh,
attractive.
Wow.
I mean,
oh, wow.
And it's what, find it, it's on Netflix, find it, watch it. It is fantastic. It's my Jim's recommendation for the week.
Yeah, and you
I'm
always
have to make a note of that.
Definitely. He's never steered me wrong before. He's given me recommendations before that have always been really, really great. So, there's so many shows on right now, so many things that I want to watch, and there's just not no time. There really isn't. So, I don't know. Because what was
no,
that?
You're always sleeping, that's why. You know.
Hey, no.
If you slept less, you'd have more time. Easy.
That's true. Well, we are just about out of time, and thank you so much for coming on the show, Ashley. You have to promise to come back and see us.
Oh, absolutely, anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
And can you also tell us where we can find you online?
Everywhere. I'm on Twitter at Ashley_Shades. I'm on Instagram at Ashley Shades, and then on Facebook, facebook.com/AshleyShades.
Awesome. We have your links put up on our Facebook page. If anybody wants to stalk Ashley, they can go there and stalk away. And again, thank you so much for coming on the show. And
thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, definitely. We had a great time, and I will be stalking you more on Facebook.
I think you will as well. You've been warned. It's been fantastic. Thank you. I've enjoyed our foray into contemporary.
Every so often, James does this thing where he turns into a creepy demon at the end of our show. It only happens at the very end of the show. But you're demon James right now. So, anyway, again, I thank you so much for coming on the show, and we're going to have to do it. I will stalk you and figure out when we'll have you come back, and we had a great show, and it went by way too fast, so thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely. And I think this is usually the time of the night when James tells me to say goodnight, ex-Tina, so that's when I holler, goodnight, ex-Tina!
Good night.
Accroche-toi.